Right here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting, I am with the new senator from Kansas, Jerry Moran. And Jerry, what are you looking forward to in the new? Now you've gone out of the House now that you've got a majority.
Yeah, my timing is less than perfect, but I've enjoyed the 14 years I've been a member of the House of Representatives. I'm honored that Kansans gave me that opportunity. I particularly have enjoyed serving on the House Agriculture Committee, and it's a place in which the partisanship is a lot less than most places in the House of Representatives. We're generally interested in what's going on and what's in the best interest of farmers across the country. And my motivation for an interest in public service or politics really is a belief that we live our lives in the Midwest, in rural states across the country, in a pretty special way. And I want it to be around for a while longer. And the success of agriculture has a lot to do with whether or not that's going to be the case.
Well, coming up in the Senate, what are some of your priorities?
Well, I think, front and center is the creation of jobs, the economy. I think that's kind of twofold. One is that the federal government has got to get its fiscal house in order. It cannot continue to borrow money. It can't continue to spend money we don't have. And then the second part of that is we have the opportunity to help jumpstart this economy, not by all the spending that has gone on in the past, at least not in my view, but by that fiscal restraint, creating a sound economy in which a business person knows what the rules are. We need to have a tax and regulatory environment in which farmers, ranchers, businessmen and women can make decisions about what's in the best interest of their business or their farm. And today we have so much uncertainty. Every person is uncertain as to what does health care reform mean to them. Will cap and trade pass the Senate? Will it become law in the new Congress? That has very damaging, in my opinion, effects upon the business climate and the ability to create jobs, and will export more business and jobs out of the United States. And the most recent example is the new regulatory scheme of financial institutions. Now our community banks no longer know whether or not a loan that they've made to what they would consider creditworthy borrower for years is now more likely to be criticized by bank examiners. And so now the credit market is backing off because of the uncertainty of their getting their wrists slapped. So I think the number one priority is jobs in the economy, and I think that relates to having a tax and regulatory environment and certainty that allows business folks and farmers to pursue the creation of wealth and making a living and, in the process, putting people to work.
Well, of course, that encompasses a whole lot of things, and especially, I guess, most immediately, we have the expiration of the Bush tax credits here at the end of the year, the Bush tax cuts, which includes the estate tax. We're finally down to nothing, and we're going to go back up to 55% here. What do you think about that?
Well, I've been an opponent of estate taxes since I arrived in Congress. In fact, the first speech I ever gave on the House floor was the damaging effects of the estate tax to farmers and ranchers in Kansas. I think the lame duck session is a place that this one can and may get resolved. And I think there is a growing consensus among folks that we ought to extend the current tax law into the future. The question becomes for how long? And again, it goes back to that question of certainty. If we just do this 6 months or a year at a time, it doesn't really solve the problems that I'm talking about. But I think the estate tax is one that, particularly with this December 31, January 1 deadline that we're facing, will be resolved in the lame duck session. And it's one that makes sense to me to resolve. I'm one who'd love to get rid of the estate tax. There are those who believe we ought to be taxing folks when they die and get rid of their wealth. There is surely someplace in the middle that we can reach an agreement that provides economic certainty and keeps our family farms, ranches, and small businesses intact upon the death of an owner.
And, of course, the other big issue as far as agriculture concerned, the ethanol tax credit and also getting the biodiesel tax credit back in.
Both of those, I think, will be part of this tax package that I think can and will pass during the lame duck session. And I think probably the blender's tax credit for ethanol will be extended maybe at its current rate or something close to that for a year, and then the battle will continue about what that tax credit should be. Even within the ethanol industry, there's uncertainty as to what the rate ought to be and what kind of investment we ought to be making in infrastructure.
The regulatory issue, we've got the E15 issue with EPA. What do you think about that?
Well, it's a step, but it seems to me it doesn't solve the demand issue for ethanol. We have so much uncertainty again, and if it's going to mean something, it's got to apply to more vehicles than where the EPA is today.
Right. The other regulatory issue that's big right now is the GPSA rule going through. Obviously, it's a big issue for Kansas. What do you think about that? And do you think this is, Congress is not going to be able to touch this? This is a regulatory thing. What do you think is going to happen there?
I represent a congressional district that has more cattle on feed than any congressional district in the country. Mr. Blunt and I have always had the battle of which congressional district has the most cattle. So I choose my words very precisely here. But this issue matters to us greatly. And certainly my cattlemen are on both sides, whether this is a good idea or a bad idea. What I've done is ask the Secretary of Agriculture to actually have his economist do an analysis. Let's find out the costs and the benefits. We've seen a private study that came out just within the last week criticizing the economic consequences to the livestock industry. But I think our chief economist ought to give us his best opinion as to the benefits and costs. Having said that, your question is, what can we do about it? I think with a change in control, the Republicans being in the majority in the House, they now have the power of the purse string. No money can be used to implement such and such in an appropriation bill. They also now have the ability to insist that administration officials come to the committees and testify and tell their stories. And so I think the world has changed a bit in regard to our ability to rein in the Obama administration.
Very good. Last question. I know we're heading to lunch, but why here, Senator?
I'm actually in Kansas City on my way to Washington, D.C. Congress reconvenes in the House on Monday, and my wife and I are driving cross-country, so we'll be across your part of Missouri here shortly. But really, I'm a fan and believer in ag journalism, and I've tried to participate in the National Association meetings here in Kansas City every year. I think you serve a very useful role, and it's really a two-part role. One is to what I think we traditionally think of is it give the best advice and information to farmers and ranchers so they can make the decisions and succeed in earning a living in agriculture, and that's certainly very important. But more and more, the issues that we face in Congress in this country, this is a very urban and suburban country, and we need farm broadcasters who can explain to the rest of the world what goes on in agriculture. So, in a sense, I'm here to pat you on the back, learn from you, and garner information that I can use in my efforts to represent rural America.
All right. Well, we appreciate you being here.
Thank you
very
much.
Here at the NAFB meeting, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.